good morning to you.
Mr. Chief Justice, Justice and members of the court, my name is Mark Rappel. I represent the appellant in this matter, Shannon Bigelow. This case is before you today on further review after the Nebraska Court of Appeals affirmed the District Court of Lancaster County's sentence of Mr. Bigelow. The primary issue on this appeal is whether or not the District Court erred in failing to instruct the jury as to insanity as rather than involuntary intoxication. Stated another way, the issue is whether or not involuntary intoxication constitutes a mental defect, disorder, or disease as applied under the insanity law of the state of Nebraska. A brief recitation of the facts. On July 7, 2016, Mr. Bigelow was admitted to St. Elizabeth Hospital here in Nebraska after exhibiting bizarre behavior at the hospital. His behavior remained bizarre, but nursing staff and others were concerned about his behavior, so they kept injecting him involuntarily with three drugs, Aldol, Ativan, and Benadryl. After he was injected with these three drugs involuntarily, his demeanor agitated even further. Eventually, law enforcement was called to the scene. Mr. Bigelow did assault the officer.
Had he consented to treatment, and does that matter?
I'm not sure he consented to treatment. I don't think he consented to the injection of the three drugs, if that's the question the court's asking. I don't think the record establishes that he decided to say, yes, go ahead and inject me with these three drugs. He ended up at the hospital because of bizarre behavior. I think his wife had some concerns about the way he was behaving.
Does the record establish that he opposed drugs?
I don't think it clearly establishes that he didn't oppose them. Clearly a situation. I read the record that he was strained and basically inject him with these drugs.
Does the record reflect whether he signed the sort of documents that everyone is asked to sign when you go to a hospital about informed consent?
I'm not aware of that in the record, Your Honor.
All right.
But continue on, he did assault the officer at trial. The issue was whether or not he was justified in what he did. The defense did call Dr. Klaus Hartman, a forensic psychiatrist, to testify. He testified about Mr. Bigelow's extensive history of mental illness, including schizophrenia, the fact that ran in his family. He did form the opinion that due to these drugs that Mr. Bigelow was unable to, he was out of his mind and unable to understand what he was doing. Now, the district court ultimately denied the request by the defense for the instruction of insanity. And I think it's important to look specifically at how the court reached that conclusion. It's clear in looking at the record, it's on page 423 through 425 of the record. The lower court judge essentially said, there isn't any proof that he suffers from a mental defect or disorder that was at the time causing him not knowing either the nature or consequences of what he was doing. Again, the emphasis on mental defect or disorder. The court continues, the commentary of NJI, the jury instructions, indicates that the reference is something along the lines of a diagnosed mental condition. But we're talking about permanent, essentially a permanent condition arising from a defect or disorder mentally, not an externally applied chemical situation. The lower court, in interpreting NJI's second insanity, required or seemed to require that there be a permanent diagnosed mental condition, that insanity cannot be available. Temporary insanity, involuntary intoxication context, as we have in this particular case. That's the issue before the court, is whether or not this would involuntary intoxication can establish insanity. Now, in order to establish reversible error for people to give a proper jury instruction, there's three elements. Number one, the proposed instruction must be a correct statement of the law. Number two, the proposed instruction must be warranted by the evidence. And number three, the appellant must be prejudiced by the failure to give the instruction. There's no question that the defense did give the proper jury instruction in this case in terms of the status of the law, a correct statement of the law. And I believe the lower court and the court of appeals found that to be the case. It was NJI second 7.1, clear, accurate statement of the law. The issue before this court is whether the proposed insanity instruction was warranted by the evidence. And I think there's no question that it was warranted by the evidence based upon the testimony of Dr. Klaus Hartman. And specifically, I would refer the court to pages 327 and 328 of the Bill of Exceptions. Question by defense counsel. Based on the information you had available to you after you received all the information, did you form an opinion as to whether or not Mr. Bigelow knew what he was doing when the assault took place? Answer, yes, I did. Question, and what was your opinion? Answer, my opinion was that he was sufficiently impaired by the effects of these medicines that he did not know what he was doing, and that he was responding blindly. He continues on, "And I believe that it is the fact that he was out of his mind because of the medicines that by the time had kicked in, that he was confused, disorganized, further than before, and did not know what he was doing at the time, and may have responded simply reflexively as a person who is unable to interpret the reality around him because already being obtunded to a significant degree." Question.
So excuse me, but then fast forwarding, because you got that material, what did he say on cross with respect to mental disease and defect?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, Your Honor. On cross-examination, the question simply asked by the prosecutor was, did he suffer from a mental disease? That was limited to that simple question. Did you suffer from a mental disease? He was never asked if he suffered from a mental defect or mental disorder. It was limited in scope to simply a mental disease. Involuntary intoxication, I don't think, would constitute a mental disease. It would likely constitute a mental disorder. But continuing on with this question from defense counsel, the effect the drugs had on Mr. Bigelow, would you describe them as some sort of mental disease or defect or disorder? Answer, well, it induces an impairment. It would induce an impairment in a person who is not on street drugs. So it is a temporary drug-induced impairment that person experiences. Again, this is on page 330. Question, and is it your opinion that the injection of these three drugs affected Mr. Bigelow's understanding of what he was doing? Answer, yes, it affected his understanding. Question, do you believe that after the ingestion of these medications, he understood the nature of his actions? Answer, I don't believe so. That's clear evidence that would support the giving of the instruction, contrary to what the Court of Appeals found. It ignored that testimony, limited solely to the testimony Your Honor referenced, which was limited to a simple question of a mental disease, not a disorder or defect.
How does your argument for this instruction square with 29.122?
Judge, I think that fits squarely within 29.122, because if you look at 29.122, that's clearly limited to just intoxication caused by voluntary means. If you look at subsection 2 of 29.122, it says, ingest, inhale, absorb the intoxicating substances voluntarily. It specifically limits it to voluntary intoxication. This is an involuntary intoxication offense. And this court has skirted around the issue, at least it's addressed it directly on involuntary intoxication. There's no circumstance where voluntary intoxication would justify insanity. However, in State versus Hotz, 281 Nebraska 260, this court did note, quote, the mental state resulting from extreme intoxication may in some cases be tantamount to insanity. So in State versus Hotz, which affirmed the refusal of giving an insanity instruction in voluntary intoxication cases, did recognize that extreme intoxication can be tantamount to insanity. Now, this court has not defined what mental defect means in terms of the application of it to insanity. It's our position that any abnormal condition caused by any defect would rise to the level of a defect. Now, the judge in the lower court wanted there to be a permanent disorder, a permanent condition that would justify insanity, but that is simply not required under the law. The plain language of the jury instruction is that it just be a mental defect or condition. There's no language that it be severe, that it be permanent, that it be protracted, that it be sustained. And if you look at a number of the cases, there's a number of cases that support this position. The common law finds that voluntary intoxication can be insanity. The model penal code does, and a number of states do as well. And I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Before you sit down, you've argued that this is involuntary, but actually in this case, what is the interaction between what appears to be a situation where he involuntarily intoxicated himself before he's injected with these other drugs?
Yes, Your Honor. There is evidence in the record that he may have ingested methamphetamine 9 hours before he arrived at the hospital. However, again, the uncontroverted testimony by the defense expert was that his opinion that behavior he was exhibiting was not consistent with behavior given the change in demeanor after being injected by these three drugs. Suggested that it was supported by the three drugs.
Wasn't he agitated when he came into the hospital?
He was agitated.
Wasn't he put in restraints prior to giving the injections?
But his demeanor got worse, and
it was already agitated. It just increased.
Right, and so I think that the state didn't refute that with any expert testimony themselves.
How about the fact that after he leaves the emergency room, another officer stops him and says, "I'm going to tase you if you don't comply," and he immediately complies. How does that justify the intoxication?
Temporary insanity can be temporary.
So it's,
No, it could be for 5 minutes.
He's insane when he's in the ER, and then he's not insane when he walks out of the ER?
Potentially, yes, absolutely. When he was injected, at the time of the assault, the evidence suggests at least the giving of the instruction. And I'll draw the court to one more case here in Porsche versus State, 275 Pacific 3rd, 478. It's a 2012 case from Wyoming that said, it is not the source of the mental condition, but the severity, thus intoxication, is not excluded from the insanity defense. So again, it's not the source, but the severity. So it doesn't matter if it's voluntary intoxication or not.
How does the insanity statute 29-2203 factor into your assertion that this was an insanity, the set of facts amounted to insanity?
Yes, Judge, I think that it fits very much squarely with that in the statute. Now, 29-2203, if you look at subsection 4, says, for purposes of this section, insanity does not include any temporary condition that is proximately caused by voluntary ingestion of intoxicating. So it's our position.
But it continues on, or absorption of intoxicating liquor, any drug or other mentally debilitating substance, or any combination thereof.
Correct, Your Honor, but the word voluntary appears before ingestion, inhalation, injection, or absorption of intoxicating liquor, any drug, or other mentally debilitating substance.
So you think voluntary qualifies that whole list? Is that how you read that
Absolutely.
Statute?
Absolutely. It's a plain, if they wanted to, if the legislature intended on including involuntary intoxication, it would have taken out the word voluntary altogether, or it would have added the word involuntary. Plain application of that statute cannot be, in my interpretation, read any differently, that it applies only to voluntary intoxication, not involuntary.
So the amendment to the bill that created that sub 4 made a point later in its cruise through the legislature of adding the word temporary.
Yes, I don't know about that, Your Honor, but I don't think the word temporary matters.
You don't
matters,
think that matters?
As long as it wasn't voluntary. The issue is voluntary, and again, I think that is codified, as Your Honor asked, on subsection 2 of 29-122, where it says, subsection 2 says, it was absorbed intoxication substance voluntarily, and it has that. So again, I think if you look at the majority, a large number of states, the model penal code and common law all support that. I ask you to reverse the Court of Appeals and find it.
Thank you very much. Ms. Vincent, good morning to you.
Rasko. The issue here is whether the Court of Appeals heard and concluded the evidence at trial did not warrant production. They submit the answer no. Bigelow had the burden of presenting evidence to justify the insanity instruction. Expert Dr. Hartman was specifically asked whether Bigelow had a mental disorder. No. That testimony affected.
So, I beg your pardon. So that's the string of those three expressions that's in the record.
Asked him. That testimony effectively negated defense. The only other evidence he presented was his own testimony. He testified that he was under back when the prosecutor asked him whether meth was the only thing affecting him at the time. Yes. Evidently, that was the statement that he gave. That being the case, there's no evidence upon him. Furthermore, given the evidence presented, I believe the defense also failed under Section 4 statute, which states that he does not include any approximately caused that situation. Here, so let's be high on meth. Not been high on meth, none of this happened. Not eligible by statute.
The jury was instructed on involuntary intoxication, correct?
That's correct.
And returned a guilty verdict. Does that mean that it rejected the premise that there was involuntary intoxication?
I believe so.
And is that significant to our analysis here?
I think so. I mean, that's certainly legitimate. I that he was. I read the record in this case. I think even if you've given him any instruction, apart from Dr. Hartman, that's impossible to square. Stop and experienced are under the influence of amphetamine and testosterone, have the video captured, or the assault captured on video. Asking him, finally, had enough, he turned around, tries to take it. That doesn't work, drags him to the back of the nurse station. That tone sounds out like a shot where he gets stops, eyes, he gets down on the ground, he puts his hands on I think it's obviously.
Are you aware of any of our cases that have given a jury instruction on involuntary
intoxication? Find any case. I might have missed.
Forgetting the comment about insanity, I'm just was wondering if you were aware of cases where the jury was advised this is a case of involuntary intoxication. Period, stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of the cases. Happens.
Are you referring to a statute enacted after Hoetz?
Yes, actually the amendment after the Haas decision. I think what they were trying to accomplish, because the position about involuntary language, I think, about settled insanity. That provision at small must be excluded.
So there's some comments associated with it, with the NGI, that there is the possibility of associating intoxication and insanity. The settled mental condition voluntarily occurring because of prolonged use,
yes,
voluntarily of drugs or alcohol, that kind of thing.
That's correct.
And not this case.
No, I think that's where the drug use, because as it now has
to. Voluntarily, so to speak.
Right. Okay. It eliminates and yes. So, my way of thinking, I thought that whatever the common law just
I beg your pardon. So then, and they're saying under the facts of this case, insanity is not warranted.
Yes.
Yeah, just to summarize, that's your position. After right, going through all these statutes.
Yeah, no, I think he was wrong. Intoxicated. And I got, you know, actually, fact that they sidestep that issue.
Before he got there, but then he gets these three drugs, which may be involuntary.
Right, he gets the free drugs, but that are the three drugs, but that's where the proximate cause comes in. But for the fact that he was high on methamphetamine and brought to the hospital, injections would never counteract the meth amount. You have this chain of events. None of this would have happened if he hadn't been taking methamphetamine. And I would also point out that this is the third brought to a hospital, addict behavior. Why?
But do you think there's any error in the instruction as it was given? Based on
intoxication?
Based on the facts.
No, I think if I'm not mistaken, I may have taken that language from what that may have come from pattern. Intoxication is
I guess where I'm going, but if you think this is voluntary, but the jury was instructed on involuntary, is that a problem?
Oh, no, I'm sorry if I misunderstood. No, I mean, I think under Abigide, induction, I think the test, not from Dr. Hartman, that induced it. I think that was enough. I think he meant.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day is State versus Lovarn.